greatest story ever told. Today, we present Blessed Are They That Mourn, a drama based on a scene contained in the Sermon on the Mount, as set down in the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, a teaching from the greatest life ever lived. In the town of Arbela in Galilee, Merchant Michael is very highly regarded. People will tell you that he is a man of wealth and position. They will tell you, too, that in the town of Arbela, many people depend upon Michael for their life. Yet it is strange that people never talk very much of Michael's friends or his family, because for all his possessions, he is a lonely man. At this moment, in the counting room of the place of business in the market of Arbela, Michael sits at his great table, staring at another man, a younger man who sits across from him. For the moment, no word is spoken. There is a sense of peace in the room. As we watch them, we would think, these men are strangers to one another. Yet in fact, they are actually his father and son. For the younger man is Michael's son, Abel. And now, Abel waits until Michael himself breaks beneath the silence.
Well, Abel, you asked to see me, and I've granted you permission. What is it you wish?
Am I not allowed to inquire after your health?
If you were so much interested in my health and welfare, you would not have done what you did.
We've been over that many times.
And you've never admitted your mistake.
Can I call it a mistake to have married a woman I love? A woman who's been a good wife to me, who loves me?
I should be disloyal to her to say it was a mistake. You could not risk disloyalty to her. But you would be disloyal to your own father, flouting my word, marrying against my will. That poor woman of such poor station in life.
You can put her all that before. It does no good.
Oh, yes, I know.
I did what I thought was right for you. But that's what I'm not about. I'm sorry about this one thing, Elvis. You said it seemed good to forgive me.
So the need for forgiveness brought you here.
There it is. But I will tell you what brought me here. I would like to meet you.
I will not see that woman.
Is that my wife?
Who then?
Him?
Who is he?
In a moment.
He's just outside the door.
A doctor, angel.
Your son, Abe?
Your grand.
I had to realize how much faster I am. Come here.
Look at you.
Yes. Like 30 years ago. Exactly like 30 years ago.
What?
It's you. And you were here then.
How much you thought you could have
seen the baby.
You will prove of it.
Very fine looking man. Tell me, Jonathan, do you know who I am?
You're my grandfather.
What have they told you about me? That I'm a bitter old man? That I don't like your mother? Things like that?
No.
No?
You have been taught to a dear and respected grandfather.
You should have known it.
Should I? Father, if I may ask you something, I would like to talk to you about this problem. Let me look at him a little while longer. It's a fine looking man.
He's right, isn't he? Everyone thinks
he can see it in his eyes. Thanks.
Yes, Jonathan, your grandfather is very pleased with you.
Now, please wait outside here. Father and I have to talk over.
And now?
Father, I've never tried to deceive you.
Deception is not the worst fault in this, son.
What I mean is, I've not tried to put on a to lead you to believe that I do very well in here. I do not, and it is no secret. still I would not come to ask for a single copper coin for myself or Miriam.
I do not wish to hear that woman's name.
But I am here to ask you for money. You yourself said he seemed a bright boy, and he is. It would be a shame if he were denied an education because of me and what I did, wouldn't it? Father, you're not here to say. Haven't you heard what I said?
Every word? I've been thinking. Shall I tell you what went through my mind? The boy. He looked so much like you when you were his age. As though I should have a second chance to bring you up. Make him the kind of son I expected in you.
Father, you don't understand. It's only money for his education that I see.
Then you're the one who does not understand.
Perhaps I don't.
The boy shall have the finest education. Finest of everything.
Oh, Father, I don't know how to thank you enough.
As
you
long as he lives in this household. I've tried to make it clear. Give the boy to me and he'll have the best of everything.
Give him up to you. What of Miriam? What of me? He's our son. We love him.
You heard my offer. Give the boy to me and he shall have everything a boy could want. But unless you let me have this child, I want nothing at all to do with him. I never say anything I do not mean. You should know that by now.
Yes, I suppose I should.
Well, I'm sorry, Mother. I would rather the boy went without an education than without a mother's father.
He could not do what you want.
We'll rob him of a great deal.
And our love will be something. We will never give up the boy.
In that case, Abel, there is no more to say. Good day.
Good day. God.
If you should ever change your mind, remember that my offer stands. Give the boy to me. He wants for nothing. My refusal stands, too. We would never give him up. You'll be sorry for this, Abel. I want you.
Michael, sir?
Yes, sir. What is it? Why do you interrupt me now and I'm going over my
time? I tried to explain to him, sir, but he...
Who insisted? What are you talking about?
The man who waits outside there, he said it was most urgent. He had to see you at once.
Merchants of produce, sir, no doubt. They always think it's urgent. Well, produce does not spoil in an hour. Let him wait.
But he is not a merchant and he has no produce. Did you mention something about your son?
My son? So that's it. He's come to his senses at last. He thought over what I said a few months ago, and now he's ready to believe my message. I should have known. We'll send the man in. The accounts can wait for this.
Yes, sir, I will send him in.
Well, I understand you come with word from my son Abel.
I do.
So he needs an advisable attendant intermediary.
Intermediary.
Believe me, if he hadn't been so stubborn the last time he was here, he would not have to be sending strangers now to plead on his behalf.
Oh, I am no stranger to him.
A close friend of his, man.
We share a great belief in your crocodile.
So?
Before you leave tonight.
The master. So when I heard of him,
I would not laugh at least this man devotes her entire life.
Yes, I've even heard that there are some like that.
I am one of them.
You, a disciple?
My name is John.
I see. So my son has sent you to represent him.
Did he think to impress me with the disciple of the master?
Well, I am not impressed. Now, to the business which brought you here. I can tell you now, my terms are still the same. If the boy belongs to me, I will do everything for him that I can. And it's quite considerable. I'm an important man, you know.
I'm afraid you don't understand.
I understand perfectly, but my terms are still the same. No help unless the boy belongs to me,
sir. I can find it any gentle, my friend. The boy belongs to John. You two strange words. Make your meaning plain. How much plainer can it be? Can it be? The boy's dead. Is the story true?
Oh, it cannot be.
I'm afraid it isn't. That is what your son sent you. He himself in the morning could not come. But was a pain. It struck the whole village where they lived. Many died. Many children. Friends. Yes, Michael.
They're not afraid.
But I don't think you'll know it once. You wouldn't have wished to observe the morning, sir.
Yes.
I don't want to see you, sir.
Come.
Let me take you to your home, sir. You would be better off here. Thank you, sir.
Michael, there is a friend here to see you.
Send him away.
I believe you should see him.
I would see no one.
Not even the disciple, John?
You. You have come back here.
Yes, Michael.
How could you?
You seem so devastated on the day I was forced to bring you that bad news, Michael. I felt I had to come back. To see if you had found something, John.
There's not been any comfort to me anywhere.
Not since that day. Please, my friend. I would not try to minimize your tragedy or make it appear any less. You must accept the will of God. You must not blame.
You think I blame God? You think you do not know me? I know who to blame. I know it very well. I am to blame. The fault is mine. See this mark of ashes on my forehead? It's like the mark God placed on Cain's forehead when he killed his own brother. For I have killed my own grandson.
Please, sir, no one blames you for what happened.
How could the fault is mine. Oh, no. It is. Could I have been educated, the child, he would not even have been in that village when the plague struck. He'd have been elsewhere, safe, alive to this day.
My friend, listen. I can listen to nothing save my own conscience.
I'm guilty. Guilty.
No, Michael, you are not guilty. Not of what you accuse yourself. The thing is which you are guilty. Of that you can be afraid. Of what do you think happened? Of what has happened against the boy died, not before.
I have a right to mourn. A reason to mourn.
I will not argue with you about that, my friend. For arguing will not keep you But could you put your morning's tide long enough to make a short journey?
Where? Why?
Come with me. We will find the master.
What can he do for me now? The boy's dead.
If you are not. Come with me. If only for the sake of the boy.
For the sake of the boy?
Yes, my friend.
For his sake, I will go with you.
Eyes forgive me. Surely it is as though God himself holds out his hand to me.
So it is.
Whatever he could teach me, I would believe it. I know that now.
Then be still. What do you begin to do?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
You've heard a great deal of teaching on this day. What have you to say now?
Take me back home, John. It's not fit for the man who mourns me among other people.
You would retire again to your dark house and keep yourself?
Did he not tell me to do that?
Did he?
I know his very words. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Perhaps you interpret his word in this way because you have not listened to him teach before. His teaching is of love for others, of unhealthy. He does not ask that you mourn in a selfish way, but in an unselfish way. He asks that you mourn for the troubles of others.
What troubles of others that can be as great as mine?
How will you know if you keep to yourself in your own house, constantly grieving over what you cannot change? Of what value is your remorse if it serves only your own purpose? To mourn for as long as you have mourned is selfish and harmful, my friend.
You think the master meant to say this to me?
I know that he did. For to serve others unselfishly is the essence of what he has always taught me. That man is greatest of all, who is servant of all. This is what he asks now. To serve unselfishly. Can you do that, my friend?
If he asks it of me,
I can at least try.
Yes, John, I'll give you my word on that. I'll at least try.
Michael, I've been looking forward to your return to the town. I've been waiting to see you, to talk to you.
There, and you've been more than a town elder in this instance. You've been a good loyal friend. I thank you for it.
Such things as thanks can wait. There are more important things to speak of.
I know what you will say.
that others have suffered because of my selfish fault. Unfortunately, it is no less than the truth. Then, Aaron, I shall make a bargain with you. I shall try to go about my business to help the people who depend on me for their livelihood. If you will do one thing for me.
Anything, Michael.
I've been thinking since I left the mount where I heard the master teach. One thing has set me very deeply. There's one great regret. The last request, in fact, the only request that was ever made of me on behalf of my grandson, was that I provide him with education.
You never told me that.
It's true, and I refused unless it could be done in the selfish way I chose. Now, to make up for that, I'd like you to find some boy in the town, a poor boy who needs learning and education, as my grandson did. I would like to make sure that the boy has that.
And if I find such a boy, you will take up your life again as it was?
You have my word on it.
Well, then I will find the boy at once.
Of course, Aaron, yes. There's one thing. I would like the boy to be as much like my grandson as possible.
But, Michael, how will I know? I never saw your grandson.
Then bring a number of boys to my house. I will choose one.
It will be done. I will go to the poor quarter of the town at once.
Have you found some boys so that I can select one?
Michael, there are a number of them waiting to see you. I trust one of them will seem to you like your own grandson.
Then let me see them.
They're just outside this door, Michael. Here, Michael. Here they are. Well, does any of them remind you of him?
Let me see. You. That's right, you, lad. Come here. Yes, sir. Oh, come, lad. Do not be shy or afraid. I'm not harming you.
I'm not afraid, sir.
Here, lift up your face. Let me see your eyes.
Well, pardon?
The eyes, yes. The eyes are very much the same.
Then you think that perhaps you have found him?
We must not be hasty in this judgment, eh? For there's another boy there. His hair is almost the same color as my grandson's was. Come here, boy. Here, lad, lift up your face. Let me see.
The similarity is strong, eh, Michael?
The color of his hair. Something about his face. But we must be fair. We must examine the others before I decide. There. There's a boy who seems almost the same size. I think if I see him walk, I may know. You see, my grandson carried himself well, very well. That boy will walk toward me.
Michael, no. Don't ask that boy to walk.
And why not? After all, how am I to judge? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize.
Yes. That boy is crippled. It would be cruel to ask him to make it conspicuous by walking.
Of course, I'm sorry. Yet, you know, there is something about him that reminds me of my grandson.
In the way he carries his head erect. And courageously.
Could be that, yes. You know, Aaron, I can see now it would be very difficult to make a choice.
One bears a resemblance to your grandson's eyes, another to his face, another to his bearing. Another has the same color hair.
It's very confusing. Very confusing.
Well, if you would wish to think about it, or if you wish I could find a few other needy boys in the town, and the sum I could not bring here at this time.
No, that would only confuse me all the more. When I looked at the first one, I said, that's he. Then when I looked at the second one, I began to feel that he was the one. So it's been all the others.
Then could it be that there is one thing about all these boys that reminds you of your grandson?
No, two of them are actually alike when you compare them side by side.
Yet there is one thing that remains the same. And one thing they all have in common with your grandson.
What is that?
They're all bright young boys. All worthy of receiving an education. All of them boys who would be better off for having this great opportunity. In that way, they're like your grandson. Jonathan? Yes. Yes, of course. I should have known that. That's why they all seem somehow to resemble him.
So that any one you choose would be the right one.
And yet there would be all the others who would be denied what I denied to Jonathan. No, Aaron. There should be a way to help them all.
If only it were possible.
It will be possible. Because I will make it possible.
Michael, it's a great undertaking.
And I shall have to make sure that there's sufficient money to carry it out. And there will be if I apply myself to business from now on. Yes, this will give me something to work for. Something beside my own selfish desires.
Oh, it will be a wonderful thing for all of us. For the boys, for the people of the town. Everyone.
Yet, Aaron, I think most of all, for me. Instead of giving in to blind and destructive remorse for my grandson who can never be given back to me, I shall have many grandsons, all to work and provide.
And Michael, you could even have a son again, too.
I doubt if he could ever see his way clear to forgiving.
I think he might. Promise me, Michael. Promise me you will at least ask him. And his wife.
You're right. I'll ask them both to forgive me. And if I try to follow in the way of the Master, all things will grow better with time. For already I see the wisdom of his way. By mourning for the troubles of others, I found a way out of my own despair. I've begun to be comforted even now, as he promised.
Greatest life ever lived.